speaks to us. Father, we ask that this day you might open our hearts and our minds to your word. Help us to hear what you're saying to us, and help us, Lord, to be your obedient children in response. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Please stand in honor of God's word. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue our mining for gems sermon series in the Minor Prophets. And today we look at the prophet in the book of Micah. Micah was a native of a somewhat obscure village in Judah, Meresheth Gath. He was a prophet to both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. In this book, Micah describes God's hatred for sin as well as his love for the sinner. Some of the sins that he speaks and refers to in his book included fraud, theft, greed, debauchery, oppression, hypocrisy, heresy, injustice, extortion, and lying, and murder, just to name a few. In the midst of sharing about the future destruction, Micah also gives the people hope as he describes God's love. Even in the midst of destruction, there is hope that a small minority will be delivered who continue to follow in the ways of the Lord. He states their king will pass before through them, the Lord at their head. The king that he's referring to is Jesus. And in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he prophesies that he will be born as a babe in Bethlehem. This morning, we're going to focus our attention on that short passage from chapter 6. It's probably one of the most well-known verses from the book of Micah. The choir just sang an anthem with those exact words in it. And probably many of you know the scripture passage from Micah chapter 6, verse 8 from memory. Micah begins this section of the book with a lawsuit. God sits as the judge. Micah is his counsel. And the jury is the ancient hills and the mountains surrounding them. The Lord has a complaint against his people. The Lord asks two questions to his people. What have I done to you? and how have I wearied you? The Lord tells them, he brought them up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I gave you spiritual leaders in Moses and Aaron and Miriam. The Lord also turned the intended curse of King Balak by Balaam into a blessing. And so the Israelites were safely led from Shittim to Gilgal. So the Lord kind of gives them what he's done for them. He lays it out before them. And so Israel responds to the Lord's request by trying to appease the Lord with sacrifices. And so they give this list. Well, what about burnt offerings? Calves that are a year old? How about thousands of rams? Will that satisfy you, Lord? How about 10,000 rivers of oil? And they even go so far as to talk about a human offering of their firstborn for their transgressions. They were so off base. Because, see, the Lord did not want their outward works. He didn't want their sacrifices. He wanted repentance. And he wanted a change in their hearts. And so he says to do justice. In other words, to act with fairness to those in a weaker social position, which was not happening. If anything, they were oppressing the weak. The opposite of violence and fraud and lying and injustice. All of that was seen in Micah's day. And so the Lord says to do justice. Once there was a man who was such a golf addict that he was neglecting his job. Frequently, he would call in sick as an excuse to go play golf. One morning, after making his usual call to the office, an angel up above spotted him on the way to the golf course and decided to teach him a lesson. If you play golf today, you will be punished. The angel whispered in his ear, thinking it was only his conscience, which he had successfully whipped in the past. The fellow just smiled. No, he said, I've been doing this for years. No one will ever know. I won't be punished. The angel said no more, and the fellow stepped up on the first tee, where he promptly whacked the ball 300 yards straight down the middle of the fairway. Since he had never driven the ball more than 200 yards, he couldn't believe it. Yet there it was. And his luck continued. Long drives on every hole, perfect putting. By the ninth hole, he was 6 under par and was playing near perfect golf. The fellow was walking on air. He wound up with an amazing 61, about 30 strokes under his usual game. Wait until he got back to the office and told them about this. But suddenly his face fell. He couldn't tell them. He could never tell anyone. And the angel smiled. You know, justice does come. It may not come right here and now, but boy, justice does come. When people are treated unfairly, if you've been treated unfairly, and you know, God's justice does prevail. There's a saying that God's payday isn't always on Friday, but justice does come. And so our Lord is telling us to do justice, to act with fairness to those in a weaker position. Secondly, he says to love kindness, or to love mercy in some translations, to be merciful. Loving, the basic root of the Hebrew word for mercy comes from the same root, interestingly enough, for womb. And when we think of a helpless baby inside of a mother's womb, that baby is totally dependent upon the mother. And mercy is loving kindness to those who are in need, those who are unable to give back in return. That can also apply to our enemies. It is that mercy that sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins when humanity was in such a desperate need of sinfulness. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we can see that loving kindness, that mercy, that we help others who are in desperate need without ever thinking, wow, I wonder what I'm going to get in return. See, that's not part of loving kindness. That's not part of mercy. It's doing it out of the goodness of hearts to reach and touch people who are in desperate need without ever thinking, what will we get in return? Jesus has told us, as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. There's a first day of school picture that's gone viral on the internet, on Facebook, in a really good way. Two elementary school boys began the new school year with a lesson in kindness. I saw him on the ground with Connor as Connor was crying in the corner, and he was consoling him. He grabs his hand and walks him to the front door. We waited until the bell rang, and he walked him inside of the school. The rest is history. They have an inseparable bond, says Courtney Moore. What Christian, the other boy, didn't know that day is that Connor is autistic. He was overwhelmed with everything going on around him at Manea Elementary School. I fear every day that someone is going to laugh at him because he doesn't speak correctly, or laugh at him because he doesn't sit still, or because he jumps up and down and flaps his hands, says April Kreitz. It was a moment in time caught, now capturing the hearts of strangers all over the world. But to the boys, it was simple. He was kind to me. I was in the first day of school and I started crying. Then he helped me and I was happy, says Connor Kreitz. Christian didn't see Connor as different. A message their moms and many others are taking from this: it doesn't matter color, it doesn't matter gender, it doesn't matter disability, and it doesn't matter anything. Just be kind. Open your heart. It's what we need in this world. No words spoken, just a quick gesture turned this little boy's whole world around. One act of kindness can change someone's life, can change the world. That's all it takes. A life lesson learned from 2 8-year-old boys. He found me and held my hand, and I got happy tears. That says it really as simple as it is. Just be nice. Be nice. Be kind and merciful to those in need. And thirdly, walk humbly with your God. Walking is the Hebrew idiom for one's lifestyle. So walking humbly is basically saying to live by faith, journeying with the Lord, following Jesus. Tracy Bailey in 1993 stood in the White House Rose Garden in the presence of the President of the United States to receive the National Teacher of the Year Award. He had come a long way. Some 15 years earlier, he had stood as a teenager in the presence of a county judge in an Indiana courtroom to be sentenced to jail. Bailey had gone on a drinking rampage with friends, vandalizing a high school, had been caught and found guilty. Nevertheless, Bailey stood before the judge with his head held high, the words of his high school wrestling coach ringing in his ears, "Don't you ever hang your head. Don't admit defeat. The minute you do, it's over. The judge looked at the proud teenager and stunned the courtroom with Bailey's sentence. 5 years in the Indiana Youth Center, a prison one step below the state penitentiary. Tracy Bailey went to jail with his head still held high, but it only took a few months for reality to set in. One day, as he sat in solitary confinement in a cell with nothing more than a metal cot, a sink, and a toilet, he realized what a mistake he had made. He began to weep. More importantly, he began to pray to God. "God, I need help," he said. "I'm defeated without you." That was the turning point for Tracy Bailey. He joined a prison Bible study and began taking college correspondence courses. After 14 months in jail, he was released on probation, and after further college studies, he became a science teacher in Florida. With these words, he summarizes the lesson he learned in life. "I bowed my head and I tasted victory." See, humbling ourselves before Almighty God, walking humbly with God, that's where we do taste victory. It's not when our heads are held high and we think we're above anyone else, but it's when we bow our heads in humble submission to Almighty God and his ways. There's an article in Guidepost that talks about how to humble ourselves before God and walk humbly with him. Number one, remember who's in charge and praise him. Number two, pray for a humble heart. Number three, pay more attention to your own faults than to the flaws of others. Number four, don't hide behind your dignity. It's pride's favorite hiding place. That's kind of an interesting one, isn't it? Number five, try not to watch yourself worship. And number six, serve others. When we look at this passage of Scripture, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before our God, we know that it embodies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He did the justice. He loved with great mercy so much that he went to the cross, and he certainly walked humbly as he went to that cross. And so you and I, when we look at this, what does God require to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God? We only can do it in the strength that we have in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that continues to teach us along the way as we walk with him in humble submission to him, as he helps us to treat others fairly, as he helps us and instills in us this desire to show mercy to people that are in great need without ever getting anything in return, to show mercy to our enemies without ever getting an apology in return, to walk with the Lord every single day and allow him to guide where we lead. May we truly follow our Lord Jesus Christ in that way. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful passage of Scripture that many of us know from memory, Lord, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. And Lord, we desire to do that. That's what you require of us. And we know that Jesus Christ embodies all of that. And we can only do these things, Lord, in obedience to you when we have Christ in our hearts dwelling deep and richly within us as he helps us every step of the way. Help us each day, Lord, to humble ourselves before you, to not walk with our head held so high that we're above other people, but that our heads may be bowed in humble submission to you. And in so doing, we are able to do justice, to treat others fairly, and seek for that in our world, and that we're able to love with your kind of love to those who are weak, those who are downtrodden, those who are forgotten, that we can love with a genuine love that comes from you alone. So fill us anew this day, Lord, for we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.